from the village of Whitney and the city of Stoke-on-Trent, this is Backing Paper.
Thanks for your audition take. We'll get back to you. Welcome to Backing Paper, not the Classic Lenses podcast, which you might have been confused by for a second, because I have been joined on this fresh new show of this fresh new year by the newish Simon Forster of the Classic Lenses podcast, and of course the large format photography podcast. Simon, welcome to Backing Paper.
It's absolutely a privilege to be here. Thank you for having me on. Should I put it another way? Thank you for finding the bottom of the pile of the dregs list of people that can help you out at the last possible minute. That would be me.
Very, very bottom of the pile. Everybody we would normally call on is still hungover from New Year, sadly. So, you know, we're working from a short draft list. Rachel, unfortunately, not very well at the moment, so she cannot join us tonight. But we're thinking of you, Rach, and we wish you the very best. But still, it's lovely to have you here, Simon. You've never joined us on Backing Paper before, have you?
No, this is a first. I did Sunny 16 about 18 months ago. But yeah, first time on Backing Paper, and I'm an avid listener of Backing Paper as well, so I've listened to all of them.
Although you did say you fast forward through some of the bits, so not really one of our dedicated listeners. I suppose we should start. I mean, it's the first show of the new year. How was your Christmas, New Year festive seasonal time, Simon?
It was fantastic, and Christmas this year was spent with the Forster family present, which three quarters of the family was thrilled with, and that being a 3D printer.
So you say three quarters of the family, so who was thrilled with it? I'm going to guess your wife was absolutely ecstatic.
You would think that, wouldn't you? But it's actually more my two boys and me. We were the happy people. But you know, it's great. It makes noises. It whirs. It goes up and down, and it gets warm. It gets cold. It makes things. So what more could you want?
This does sound really cool. I've actually chatted to you a few times about this over the last few weeks when you told me about it. Because when we had Ethan on a few weeks before Christmas, I really wanted to talk to him about the whole thing of buying a 3D printer, especially a first-time buyer, but we just ran out of time. But you spoke to him and you got his advice, and then you ignored his advice and did your own thing because, you know, I mean, why would you? So what has been your experience of as a first-time buyer of a 3D printer?
Well, it's been good so far. It was one of those things that 3D printers aren't at that mass acceptance stage yet, where say home computers were back in the late 90s, where they become very, very commonplace. I mean, I think 3D printers are still back in the ZX Spectrum 48K era. There's just so many things with them that you have to get set up yourself, so you're not going to see one of these things in John Lewis in the next couple of years. But I think those days will come, and there'll be more automation, how you set the things up, and more information out there about how to get the best out of them. Because at the moment, you do something and they say, you find that you're printing something and it doesn't stick to the bed, and I've got a glass bed on mine, and you then do some research on it, and some people say, oh, use a Pritt stick, and then you speak to Ethan and say, throw the Pritt stick in the bin, it's horrible, it's hateful, and so on, and do this, and get some hairspray, and get some of this special hairspray that's amazing that you can't buy in Britain. That's what you want. And so the next thing, you're like trawling shops for hairspray, and I'm on my, I think, fifth can of hairspray. I'm suggesting to my wife that she should like go back to the 80s and do some big hair, because she can now. but I'm finding that, you know, one brand over another, does it work? No, it doesn't. And it's all very, very experimental, but I like that. I mean, I think that's is something that a lot of photographers that shoot film or adapt lenses and things like that, they like a little bit of trouble in their life just to, you know, experiment and to learn for themselves. But so I do think that when you have a little bit of hardship in your photography, you learn more about it, and that's certainly the case with these 3D printers. So the one that I picked wasn't the one that Ethan recommended. It's a little bit bigger than that one, but I've got some big plans and I need something with a slightly larger bed on it for printing larger objects. So this is like the next thing up from his recommended Creality Ender 3, I think is what he's pushing at the moment. That's not the right word. That's one he's recommended. And he's actually got a post out on Kickstarter. Was now his Branco Pan, which I'm a backer, is fully funded. It's at 110% as we speak. And he's just dropped a piece on Kickstarter talking about what 3D printer to go out and buy if you haven't already got one, and it's awesome. It's a really, really good read, and it to the point where you don't. It's an excellent starting point if you know nothing about 3D printers. It's well worth reading it because it'll give you a good base, because there are so many things that can go wrong that you can do incorrectly and so on. And I totally advise people, if they're going to get one of these things, read what he says there, and also watch as many YouTube videos and read as many blogs about the subject, because the more information you're going to get, at first it's going to be like, oh, there's just too much information, then eventually you'll start to sift out the information that's actually going to be more relevant to you, and you think, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and so on, and I think it just works out better that way for you.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense, and it's great that the article's out there. So, what is it you actually ended up buying for yourself then? You didn't get the Creality, whatever it was you said.
Yeah, the Ender 3 is the recommended one, if you like. So the next size up is called the CR10, and there's a few versions of that, and I've gone for the middle one, which is called the CR10S, and that's got a 300mm square bed on it, so you can just do larger things on it.
Gotcha.
You certainly don't need one as big as this to do the Branco Pan, but yeah, I've got plans, and I've already been designing little things, useful things, such as the first thing I did, the very first thing that actually came off was a negative holder for a De Vere. What was it, 705 and larger, which was donated to our Darkroom Club, which no doubt we'll chat about at some point, but the Darkroom Club that help with in Stoke-on-Trent, and we had a 705 and larger donated to us by Stephen Segersby, and we didn't have the holders for it, so you know, we managed to like cut a few pieces of card and put them into sandwich 4x5 sheets of film and use it that way, but ideally you wanted something that was metal to hold the negatives in place. But those things are seriously rare. I mean, I was looking on eBay and I couldn't find anything that had been sold in the last 12 months of those particular items, so I knew that they weren't going to come my way, so I was either going to get them fabricated or 3D print them, because they're very simple things. Yeah, they're flat. They've got a few extrusions in there where you've got like studs and you've got holes that mate up with them. So I was thinking, yeah, I can make one of those, and lo and behold, I did. And then from that, I started making lens caps. So I've now got Exacta lens caps I'm making. And the latest thing that I've done is to make a lens board for my Aero Ektar lens. Which I've owned for nearly 2 years, but haven't had a camera that I could actually use it with. Well, I picked up a Speed Graphic relatively recently, and now I've got the ability to actually mount that lens onto a Speed Graphic. But the way that I did it, I couldn't use a normal one because there was a problem with my lens, and so having the ability to make a custom lens board for it has just been absolutely fantastic, and I've just loved the experience of it. You know, even to the point where the lens was too heavy for the lens board, and it was making it sag a little bit, so I just thought, well, okay, I'll just design a support for it, and I did, and it worked, and it just came very easily to me, so I'm just really enjoying it.
That sounds great. It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, from our conversations, I think I said to you, I'm not sure I'm at a point yet where it makes sense for me in getting one, because I don't think I have the competence when it comes to design, although I know there's lots of things you can just download and get hold of, like the Branco Pan, which we've mentioned already. Incidentally, that's fantastic that that's been funded already. It was a gutsy move to do it the way he did, and I'm so pleased that it's been successful. Huge congratulations to Ethan. But I'm really interested that they are becoming more and more readily available at a good price point and a good quality. And I think it is going to be only a matter of time before one ends up in this house. So I'm really pleased to hear that you're having fun with it, Si. It sounds like the new toy has hit well. Other than the 3D printer, did you get any other photographic stuff for Christmas?
In my spare time, I mean, I'm a dealer in cameras and things like that, so it's Christmas all the time in my house as far as photographic equipment's concerned, you know, and nothing's changed since I was on 18 months ago. You know, things come into my possession and I like them, and they should go straight onto eBay, but they sort of find their way into my cupboard and I hang on to them for much longer than I should do, and those kind of things keep on happening. Although I do get rid of stuff. I mean, I recently picked up one of my dream lenses, a Carl Zeiss 75mm 1.5 Biotar, and to justify keeping that I had to sell quite a few other lenses. Which I managed to do, but it's hard. It's like selling children, you know. The good hard, ones, you know.
Yeah. I mean, hard as in finding a buyer for them? I'm assuming that's what you mean by it's hard selling your children. Did you take part in the Secret Santa, the Emulsive Secret Santa?
I did. Oh, I've forgotten about that. Yeah, I did. And a chap on Twitter, Scouse Steve, was my Santa. And what did he send me? That was it. There was... Apart from a load of film, which I didn't ask for, which is very, very nice of him, I had some chemicals from Wet Plate Supplies. Yeah. So I've now got parts A and parts B of some Pyrocat. I really fancy having a go at that. I think that came from when we had Matt Marash on the Large Format Photography podcast, because he was talking about Pyrocat and how you can. It's incredible for retaining highlight detail. So, you know, to the point, you know, you take pictures of light bulbs and see the filaments. That kind of, I mean, how easy it is, and I'm sure there's more to it than what I've just said there, but you've got that potential to bring highlights back with Pyrocat in a way that most other things can't. And there was also some potassium bromide, which is really exciting stuff.
Sounds amazing. I think I've got some somewhere. I think I have got a bag of potassium bromide somewhere, as one does.
Well, that was one of the things I wanted. I've always wanted that, and that was so.
Always wanted that. That seems like a lie.
That's it. Well, and I want some vitamin C to go with it as well.
So you're on a caffeinol bender, is that where
exactly?
Yeah, so that's why I've got it too. I've had mine since last year. Let's see, 2020, the year that I'm definitely going to do caffeinol. I got the ingredients in 2019. I feel like 2020 is the year I can do it. One step at a time.
Yeah, it's got to be done. When we had chatted with Wayne Setzer, he pretty much converted Andrew over to caffeinol. That's Andrew Bartram, my large format wife, on the podcast, and he was a little bit skeptical at first. So he's used it now, and he really, really likes it. So I need to do it myself.
Yeah. Heaven forbid you just stick with what you know and keep things simple. Always got to be something new with you, hasn't it, Simon? Always got to be something new.
What? Use something twice? Come on.
Yes. Crazy talk. My Secret Santa also arrived safely before Christmas, which was fantastic. I was more relieved to find that the one I was sending got to where it was supposed to go, because that was going off to Australia, and I'm glad that got there safely. But mine also arrived from Greece just before, and I got some lovely film from Greg. I think I'm going to pronounce his surname completely wrong, but I think it's Antikios. Apologies, Greg. But sent me a lovely box of film, all monochrome stuff, which is fantastic, because I really want to try and get into a habit of shooting with the thought of printing this year. That's kind of where I want to go. So black and white is just perfect. And also there's some nice P30 in here as well, and some Berger Pancro 400, which I'm actually shooting a roll of that in the 120 in my Bronica at the moment, because we loaded that when we met up in Cheltenham. So I got that. Also, Sinead, my better half, she bought me a couple of rolls of film, neither of which have I shot before. One is some Lomachrome Purple, so that'd be fun. And some Yodica, the Atlas, the rainbow stuff. So nice colour shift films. So yeah, I've got some fun stuff to play with that I've not used before. So that was my good filmy Christmas. I have to say, over the Christmas period, I have been shooting with what I feel is my kind of festive camera setup. Not that it was technically festive, but as mentioned before, Jeremy gave me a Nikon F3 not long before. It was what? When did we meet up? November?
Yeah, it was quite cold.
It was cold, so November, so nearly Christmas, and gave me the Nikon F3. Hamish gave me this lovely, via you, this lovely 50mm lens to use with it. And an aide gave me for my Christmas present a roll of Portra 800. So that's been my full festive setup, and I've been having so much fun with that camera and that lens, and just, yeah, having a great time with that. I was just
going to say, that wasn't just any old Nikon 50mm lens either. That was a 51.4.
Yes, very nice.
AIS as well, I think, which great lens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know one lens from another, as you know, having had me on your podcast, but it seems real nice and having a lot of fun with it. Turns out, and this is a controversial opinion, but I'm going to say Nikon F3, quite a good camera. it's one of those sleeper hits, I think. I don't think anybody's cottoned onto it yet, but I think give it a few years, they'll become quite popular. Yeah, I'm really loving that. Really enjoying shooting it. Been out with it frequently. Anyway, that's probably enough chat from us. We've got a load of emails to get through, a load of festive seasonal and not so seasonal emails, many of which I didn't bother to forward to you. So I'm going to take on the brunt of the email reading this evening, because as anybody who has listened to the Classic Lenses podcast will know, Simon is a bit aloof for reading emails, but he is going to read this first one for me, which comes from, coincidentally, the Classic Lenses podcast. Simon, take it away.
It does. I'll just explain my reason for being aloof, and it's down to that thing called dyslexia. So I do apologise for people I'm going to put through, but seeing that Alex Purcell came on the show not that long ago, and he has a similar kind of affliction, and he muddled his way through him bravely, I guess I've got no excuse not to give this a go. And seeing that I'm actually somehow familiar with this email, I should be able to manage part of it at least anyway.
Yeah.
So here we go. Hi Sunbeams. It's downhill from here now. Cheyenne Morrison came up with a fantastic idea for a contest. See details below. Here we go. I'm struggling already. We read the email out on this week's show, and well. Say this week, so it was about, this was like 2 weeks ago now, so it takes a while for things to get through to the Sunday 16 podcast, obviously, and decided to forward it to you as you're better at this kind of thing, etc. Yours and Lenses, the Gear Acquisition Monkeys. And so the original letter was from Cheyenne Morrison to the Classic Lenses podcast, and it goes, hi Simon, Johnny and Perry, I have a suggestion. Just like Sunday 16 does the cheap shot challenge, why don't you do a cheap lens challenge? Entrants must submit photos using a lens bought for less than $50 or equivalent. That's okay. I mean, that's a lot more than yours, isn't it? But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they need to be a bit lower if we were to do that. And the winner gets what? A cheap lens. Okay, so bonus points for using really cheap lenses such as an Indostar 51, and points deducted for using expensive lenses you claim to have bought unless you have a receipt. Putting a $5 sticker on a thrift store expensive lens gets you publicly shamed. Anyway, sounds like something. Oh dear, sounds like
you're doing
something
fine,
fun.
And
we need a grouchy judge, and some rants like Jimmy D or Hamish Gill or M would be perfect. Regards, Mr. Cheyenne Morrison. So that letter did actually get read out a couple of weeks ago on the Classic Lenses podcast, and we gave it short shrift because the idea of judging photographs on a podcast is just ridiculous.
I think it's a great idea. How dare you say that? So, after your expeditions into competition with the haiku competition, I think you'd have a taste for it by now. So I'm you are the lenses guys, you know about this stuff. I don't think I have many lenses that I have paid more than $50 for. I'm not a lens collector, but $50 does seem like quite a lot. You can pick up a pretty good lens for less than that, can't you?
Definitely. Although if you listen to Perry G on our show, that it's pretty much impossible pick up a lens of that kind of price that will actually work on his Leica. So, but yeah, there are some great lenses out there that are cheap. I think the the two obvious candidates are the Helios 44-2, although there are other versions of the Helios 44, but I'd say go for the 44-2. And the other lens which really jumps out is the Pentacon 50mm f1.8, especially if you're a bokeh lover.
Yeah.
Because they do produce some fantastic shots. Probably more suited to digital when you're doing bokeh photography and such, but yeah, there you go. I mean, you can always stop it down, you know. Smaller apertures are available.
I've used that Pentacon 1.8 on my Fuji camera a long time ago, and yeah, I use it to take some just flower pictures and stuff like that, and it was lovely, really, really lovely. So yeah, I think that would be a difficult competition, because I think you can't. I mean, it is just a quality of picture competition, isn't it? But yeah, it's a nice idea. But we'll definitely leave that one for you to have. you know, that could be yours.
That's yours. It, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, this next email is from Ian Fleming, who I think I offended last time I was on your show.
Yeah, you did, yeah. He wrote in to complain.
Yes, noted train driver Ian Fleming writes in to say, "Hi, Sunbeams. Enjoyed the podcast." This is the one we had just before Christmas with M. Hamish and Bellamy, I feel. "Enjoyed the podcast and can confirm my film fridge has a diminishing stock of ancient film, except for Polaroid pack film and Polaroid Originals Spectra. I've even used up all the huge Ilford stock I bought years back when we thought we might lose them. I'm buying fresh Ilford and Kodak and Polaroid Originals to feed my cameras and make sure these companies survive. P.S. My £3 Nikon L35 is still going strong. Happy Christmas from Ian Fleming." Well, I'm very happy to hear all of that, especially about the Nikon L35AF, because they are lovely cameras, but they are a little bit fragile. I've got an L35AF2, I think, and I have to kind of it'll take a picture and I have to thump it on my leg to get it to wind onto the next frame. But the pictures it takes are really nice. Where are you, Simon? You've got a bit of a bad reputation for using old defunct film with no real thought to what the results are going to be like, and then going, "No, they're not very good." Well, I wonder why. Are you starting to get better about buying fresh film?
I'm trying to.
Are you starting to get better about placing some value on the work that you're doing? Let me phrase it like that.
Well, I did actually buy some fresh film recently. Bought some Ektar 100 because there was an event that I was going to go to with doing some light painting with the camera club.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, well, I'll go out and use film while they all use digital.
Uh-huh. And, but you showed them, didn't you? How did that go?
I've not developed the pictures just yet. but it needs to happen soon, because I'm actually going to be doing a bit like yourself, I'm going to be doing one of these talks to the camera club and just explain to them how good film is or adapting lenses is and so on.
I really hope you just do it all blind and go, "And here are the results." Oh no.
well, the other part to doing that event, and I have mentioned this on Classic Lenses, but there was I was after a particularly wide lens to use, and I didn't actually have anything that was truly suitable for it. And I was chatting to our friend, everybody's friend, Jeremy North, and he said to me, "Oh no, I haven't got a 21mm for contact Yashica." That's what I was asking him, because we're both contact Yashica people. And he goes, but if you want, you could borrow my Hasselblad SWC." Yeah, it then went rather quiet. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not a bad idea. I'm like shaking. I think, yeah, I've got a Hasselblad, and I love Hasselblads, but the SWC, just for people that don't know, it's effectively a Hasselblad compact camera. It still uses a back on it, an A12 back. But the lens is fixed to the body, and that's larger because it's so wide, and I guess they just couldn't actually make it and have a mirror box in there, so they got rid of the mirror and set it further back. But it still uses the same A12 backs for it, but I think it's an equivalent in 35mm terms as a 21mm, so it's a super wide 6x6 camera, and I mean I really enjoyed using it, even though I completely messed up the first shot. But after that, I think it's okay, and hopefully the shots will come out. Because I've never used Ektar before, but when I've seen the results from Ektar on 35mm, I've always been impressed. So, you know, hopefully it'll be even better on 6x6.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, I look forward to seeing those shared imminently. They'll be shared imminently, right?
Yeah, well, they'll be shared or they won't be shared. It's as simple as that. And yeah, so yeah, if people don't see them, they'll know why.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, next email is from Jonathan Becker. Jonathan writes in, "Dear Sunbeams, please find attached my entries for the Cheap Shots Challenge. These pictures were taken on and around our local Christmas market, so they should fit the theme." They most certainly do. I used a Pouva, I'm going to guess Pouva, P-O-U-V-A, never heard of this before, a Pouva Start camera. I mean, I've never heard of it. I instantly want one, which I got cheap in a box full of old and mostly broken photographic stuff. So it's hard to tell how much I paid. As film, I used some HP5 expired in 1999. Perfect. Just to give an estimate on costs, if you would pay more than €5 for both together, this would be a bad deal. Sounds perfect. Sounds like you've absolutely nailed it there, Jonathan. The camera is great. You have one shutter speed, I guess around 1/60th, bulb mode, and two apertures, about f8 and f16. The best feature is that double exposures can be done so easily. To be honest, it's so easy that you'll have to do those all the time, even if not planned. The plastic lens even has two elements. Is of the known high quality of products from the former GDR, and when you look through, it's like looking through some bubble wrap. Oh, this sounds like an absolute dream machine. Well, I know what I'm doing on eBay next. So, equipped with this camera, a film from the 90s, and on one of the darkest days in the year, what could go wrong? In lack of options, I just used the one shutter speed I had and the fast aperture of f8. The film was developed in Rodinal for at 1:50 for about 30 minutes. In case of fresh HP5.
That's this, a Dutch one.
That's HP5. This would be a push to about...
That's ISO. Swedish.
Listen, I'm not good at accents. ISO 2000. The first picture shows a typical Christmas market scene. People on a short break from Christmas shopping consumerism to consume a healthy portion of carbs and saturated fats. The second picture is a triple exposure of a Christmas tree in a church close to the first scene, a much calmer place. With this, I want to wish you and all your listeners a Merry Christmas, even if this will probably reach you after the holidays. Best regards from Jonathan. Thank you very much, Jonathan. That's lovely to hear from you. Let's have a look at these pictures. So we've got two cracking pictures here. Not this camera. I don't think it's overburdened with sharpness, but you don't need sharpness when you're capturing... I'm looking at the market scene one now. Simon, have you got that in front of you?
No, you didn't send that one.
Did I not? Okay. No.
I'm quite happy to go with your visualization, though.
Okay, so this is a square format, black and white, obviously. And yeah, it's a winter market in... I cannot remember what town Jonathan's in, but it's lots of lovely old tall buildings around, and then these market streets, market in the store, lots of people bustling about, getting food and whatever. It's just a great scene, and one that is very familiar with anybody who's been into a town before Christmas with everything that's going on. So I really like that. And I think the old film has done pretty well. I think the old film suits the old camera. It all has quite a nice... vintage softness. There's a sign at the very top which looks as if it says XXL POM something. I don't know what that meant. extra large potatoes? I don't know.
I was going to say de terre.
Yeah, POM de terre. Yeah, the sign's not quite big enough. Anyway, it's fascinating. So I like that. And the second one, this triple exposure of the trees looks fantastic. So it's almost entirely black image. And then you've just got the lights from these trees, so these three tree-shaped collections of lights, and then I guess there might be stained glass windows or something behind that, and then lights from those. It's all worked tremendously well. These will all be in the show notes, probably. A link to all these will be in the show notes, probably. If not now, then soon for defo. But that triple exposure's worked really nicely. I really like that. Both very, very good. perfectly fitting the season of hype. Well done, Jonathan. Lovely stuff.
I've got to say, well done for actually managing to get a picture out of one of these things as well. I'm not going to lie, I didn't know what this camera was before. I just Googled it. Uh-huh. And I'm just looking at it now, and it reminds me, I mean, there was a camera called a Perma. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those things.
Oh, yes, yeah, the Permas, yes. They're an odd-looking thing.
Yeah, pretty hateful camera from what I've seen of them. And this is no different, really. It's probably nicer than one of those, but it's all plastic. It looks like it's made out of two injected mouldy parts and then roughly put together. Well, I've got to say, well done for actually managing to do anything with this. So fair play to you.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it's sort of a Bakelite, essentially box cameras. It's like, I suppose it's a lot like a Holger, just like.
So it's certainly more Holger-like than a box camera, really. But
yeah, exactly. So yes, very funky. Very funky. All right, what have we got next? This next one is from Ian Turpin with the subject heading, Ho Ho Ho. Hi, Sunnies. Just a quick email to wish everyone at Sunny 16 Towers a happy holiday and best wishes for 2020. I hope Santa bought you everything you deserved. thankfully, he didn't. For my part, my wife saw how much I love printing and thought she'd get me some extra special paper. Sadly, my printing is all inkjet and 16 by 12 darkroom paper isn't of any use. Oh no. So I have a packet of 10 sheets of fiber paper as well as RC and no real clue what to do with it. There's no darkroom that's local to me, so reselling on eBay was what was suggested by my wife. But it seems a shame not to put her good intentions to some sort of use. So my question, can I use the paper for something? I home develop my film, so have film developing chemistry as well as darkback. I still have dev trays from when I used to do darkroom printing. However, one is now an emergency cat litter tray, and the other is filled with water for the chickens. The third cracked last winter when the chicken water froze and broke. That's a very ignominious end for those three trays. I suppose I could cut it up and put it in my RB67 or a pinhole camera to make paper negatives, but that seems like a waste for 16 by 12. Is eBay the best option? From Ian. Simon, thoughts?
Oh, I do have thoughts on this. Ian, you're not far away from Stoke-on-Trent. Come down to the Six Towns darkroom. Bring your paper with you, bring your negatives with you, and we'll print them on your there shiny you new paper.
That sounds like a wonderful idea. Because whereabouts is Ian?
I think he's in Northwich. So he's in Cheshire somewhere. Anyway, which is not. He's put in there in quotes local. Yeah, we're not really local to him, but we're not a million miles away. Certainly less than an hour away.
Oh, so, that's local, isn't it? That's definitely local.
It is actually. Paul Bullock, who also comes along, he's somewhere in Cheshire as well. So you know, he drops down once a month. So please, Ian, come down, bring him, and we'll print whatever you like. So we've got chemicals, we've got the kit, you know, we'll love to do it.
That sounds like a great idea. I sincerely hope you do that, Ian. If not, I mean, it would be a real shame to eBay it and not use it. I mean, you can do loads of stuff with photographic paper. Using them for pinhole or paper negatives is a great idea. You can do lumen prints, but again, that's given the cost, especially of large fiber paper, it's maybe not the best use of it. Go down and see Simon. You've had an open invitation. You can't say no now. You get to meet Simon Forster off of the internet. If that's not enough of a draw, I don't know what is. I met him once, twice, three times, a lady, and it was one of the most exciting thrills of my life. So do that. Next one is from Angela Solis. Were you going to read this one? Because this is one of the ones I sent to you. Are you going to take this one on? Or did you not want to?
No, I don't want to do any more for a while. You carry on.
Fair enough. Okay, this one, as mentioned, from the wonderful Angela, who writes in, Hi, Sunbeams. Hope your film photography trio are full of love, happiness, and delicious food and drinks this holiday season. I'm still in a bit of a festive mood. It's Boxing Day. But tomorrow will be just a regular work day for me. Boo. I haven't quite got back to work yet, but I'm definitely building up to it. Anyway, just sending in both my greetings and my submission for the Cheap Shots Challenge. I went to an amusement park called Canada's Wonderland, which they changed into a holiday village called Winterfest. Suffice to say, it was winter when we went there, as there was snow and slush all over. I got good photos despite the weather, and my submissions are just a few of my favourites. Shot using my trusty Pentax SBO 120 SW and an expired Portra 800, which I took away from my husband's stash. Have a safe and happy end of 2019, and see, hear you all in 2020. That's from Angela. Thank you so much, Angela. Now, I know I defo sent you this one, so you can defo look at these pictures with me, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I'm just going to say as well, it's good to hear that Angela's recovered from being poorly at the back end of last year as well. So that's good news.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first picture I'm looking at, this looks like it's probably a scene from something like a production of the Nutcracker Suite or something, because it looks like we've got some gentlemen, just as toy soldiers, drumming away there.
It's definitely the Nutcracker, because I remember when I was at school, infant school, I had to dress up like one of those things and have red cheeks and hit a drum and take it very, very seriously. So it's etched upon my brain, that one is.
Well, they look, they're having a great time there. I mean, for expired portrait, the colour's lovely. You know, it's really like bright and vibrant, and the light levels are obviously very low. So you've got quite a lot of movement with their drumming away, but it all just adds to the energy of the picture, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's a true action scene.
Yeah, it's lovely, and you really get a feel for it. I love this second one. You describe it.
I think the second one is my winner of this competition. I'm not judging, actually, am I? No. It's cool. Well, it's not Rudolph, but I do think it is a reindeer. Mm-hmm. It's standing upright on its hind legs, looking out at across a fence, with some festive antlers on it. But what I'm particularly impressed with this is, you know, if Carl of our late Carl had seen this, he'd be there saying, "You've got 3D pop from a compact camera." Because it really does stand out. You know, it's well exposed. It's really perfectly in focus, and then what's behind it just falls away, out of focus. So it really stands out against its background. So perfect shot.
Yeah, and Angela, in conjunction with that little SBO 120 SW, have produced some great work in the past as well. They are a winning combination, those two together. What I love about this reindeer is that its antlers, I'm guessing the idea is that it's wearing a woolly hat over its antlers, but what it looks like to me is, apologies in advance, it looks like somebody's decapitated two lambs and stuck it to the reindeer's head by the neck.
I thought there were two dead cats.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're both on similar wavelengths. Yeah. These pictures will be available to see. But yes, and I love the way it's resting its chin on its hoofs and peering out of the fence. Great. Lovely shot. Really love it. This theme is throwing up delights I was not expecting. I'm really enjoying it. Okay. This next email is from the aforementioned friend of the show, Jeremy North, entitled 2020. I am not a man... I am Cantona. I think he was a footballer or a golfer. One of the two. He's definitely one of the two. This is many people's favourite quote from the Ken Loach film Looking for Eric. Sorry to Steve Lloyd, Stig, and recent guest Andrew Walmsley, who support the other team in red, who seem to have taken United's mantle for now. I think it's definitely a football thing. There's a lovely scene in that film where they look at old photographs, which was one of many which made me well up. It got me thinking about old photos we may have taken and put away in boxes. Thank you for taking on board and running with my hashtag 2020 vision tag. I think you know I'm all for wordplay and cryptic crosswords, so I thought it too good an opportunity to not come up with that one. I was amazed that no one else thought of using it in the context of photography. I mean, likewise, I think it's a great one. Anyway, there have been some great responses to it which have made me add other stuff to my 2020 vision, notably projects or even just one. In the light of the film I mentioned earlier, I want to go through old pictures and mount them on my walls. Not necessarily spectacular images, just those which have a frisson or other pivotal meaning. As this is the end of yet another year, I want to thank you all for the great as well as the not so great podcast. Oh yeah, it's definitely a Jeremy email. That's verified. You put out, and even more than that, the amazing impact you've had on our world of analog photography. Things are just getting better and better. A big shout out to Hamish and M2, who've put in the hard yards for the community. Highlights of the year, apart from cycling up the Pyrenees, are all about meetups here in Cheltenham. Thanks Fraser, Graham, Simon, Edward and Steve, as well as the great day out with Hamish and the Kiln Gig. By the way, this year went out with a bang rather than a whimper. The last backing paper with the lovely Andrew Walmsley was a blast, as was the annual Sunny 16 meetup episode. The ever pragmatic aid was great value. Love to you all from Jeremy. Thank you very much, Jeremy. And very nice to get that feedback. Aid was very pragmatic. Throughout the whole film developing thing.
Well, I was just going to say I'm just partway through listening to that episode, and I'm really looking forward to the next part in it, which is going to be the bit where Aid pulls out the negatives for the first time and has that wondrous moment. So I'm looking forward to that now.
It's going to be great. Don't want to spoil it for you. It's magical. Oh God, that roll of film. I know I have in the past complained about having problems with dirty and messy negs and stuff like that. One of the worst I've had in ages. So I'm kind of having to go through and do some fairly heavy duty Photoshop dust and hair and other crud removal before I can send them on to Aid. But I'm working on it. Didn't go quite as well as I'd hoped. I had to edit out literally minutes of me winding that film onto the thing. There's a lot edited out. At some point in the future, we will probably put out a longer cut of that, because there's a lot of just general chat that got cut out for time, because otherwise it would have been a very long podcast. Thank you very much for that, Jeremy. That was lovely to hear from you. And I'm really interested. I'm going to put this shout out now. Listeners, if you have got a sort of a 2020 vision, what photographically you want to achieve, maybe some New Year's resolutions that are applying to your photography, maybe things you're going to really concentrate on or concentrate on not doing anymore in 2020, write in with us and use Jeremy's hashtag 2020 vision. We're going to pinch it and run with it because it's great. Love to hear what your plans are for the year. You got any plans, Simon? Have you got anything that you like, 2020, this is the year for ...
yes.
Constant stream of new things you pick up once, do twice, and then never pick up again.
Well, there's a couple of thoughts from this. The first one, what you were planning for your 2020 about taking more time to think about the photography you're going to do and use what you've already got instead of hunting the next thing down. Mm. I was listening to that. I was thinking, yeah, very, very noble. And yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think I'm 5 days in so far to the year, and I've managed it so far.
Well done.
So I'm doing the same as you, pretty much. So,
pretty much.
We'll see how that one pans out. But I've got a backup one just in case that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar to what I did with 2018 and 2019. As in 2018, it was, I'm going to do a podcast, and that was the Classic Lenses podcast. And then 2019, I want to do another one, I'm getting into large
format.
Are you
threatening us with a third podcast?
Well, I can tell you now, I am not going to do a third podcast. not a chance. We're in that club of people who do more than one podcast, and it's doing three podcasts or 2.5, whatever it is. No plans on doing that. But I do plan on doing something this year, and it's going to be something a little bit more tangible, and I'm not going to say any more about it than that.
Ooh, teaser. We like teasers. Actually, I hate teasers. I like people to just tell them what's going on. But you know, I won't press you for details at this point. No, that's cool. Well, as I said, listeners, do write in and let us know what your thoughts are. Because I think it's a good time of year to look ahead. And even if we all fail miserably, it's good to at least start with an idea in our heads. Okay, this next one, another Cheap Shots Challenge entry, is from the wonderful Graham Young from the Homemade Camera Podcast, probably the most beautiful of the hosts of the Homemade Camera Podcast, I would say. Graham writes in, Merry holiday season to all. Please find my entry in the Cheap Shots Challenge Holiday Extravaganza contest attached. This image is from the most festive of locations during the holiday season, a tavern. The lighted Christmas tree, prominent Michelob Amber Bock. Oh, that's a black beer. The least flavorful Bock beer in all of existence.
What is Bock beer?
I think it's the noise a chicken makes when it's drunk.
Oh, okay.
Bock beer?
Okay,
so Maybe it's the noise a chicken makes when it's ordering at a bar. Solved it. And tasteful lantern-esque wall sconce. If you take a close look, you will see the antlers and head of a deer topping the tree. Why only use the head of an animal, you may ask? Because we ate the rest of him, is the answer. That's getting in the spirit. Well, by Rudolph, I guess. I took this using my fifth Cheap Shots Challenge camera, as each of the cameras I've used on previous entries have failed to work after submission of the image. Most often, well before the judging commences. I think it's worth noting that quite a few of those have been ones that Graham has made himself. So, I mean, I'm just saying. This version is the venerable Vivitar V4000S with a 50mm f1.9K mount lens. Is that a good lens, Simon?
It's all right.
There you go. This SLR... yes, $30 including shipping, is a Casina-built unit that was made alongside the Nikon FM10 as well as other brands, and eventually morphed into the Cosina Voigtlander Besser line of rangefinders. It is smooth to operate, has a 1/2000th again, I don't know what's going on with my tongue, 2/1000th of a second top shutter speed, hence the name V4000? I don't get it either. A simple 3-LED meter reader, and almost no other features. The perfect Cheap Shots Challenge camera. It sounds like it's got all the features. Of course, while it is still working as of this entry, I am sure the curse of the Sunnies will have me shopping for the next camera before the judging airs. I used ultrafine extreme 400 film pushed to 1600, but it says extreme on the label, so that seems fair, and developed an X-Tol for 13 minutes. There's nothing like black and white at Christmas time. Just ask George Bailey. Cheers from Graham Young. Thank you very much, Graham. Did I send you this email as well, Simon?
Yeah, I got this one. Good, and I also had to look up who George Bailey was, and it's A Wonderful Life.
Oh, right, gotcha.
Which was, of course, shot in black and white, so that hence the black and white Christmas, and why a black and white Christmas could be so Christmassy.
Yes, absolutely. I really do love this picture. It has... that wonderful life kind of feel. I think the film has really worked nicely with the scene to kind of give it a... I don't know. It feels right to me. You know that the lighting's great in it. The Christmas tree, the hint of decapitated deer at the back, the lantern at the top left there. I love it. It's really really festive. What about you, Si?
I like the... We ID, I assume, 19-year-olds. Yeah, it's Christmassy. It's and all those things that you've just said.
your where does it say we ID 19-year-olds? Where's that say?
It's just going on the left-hand side. It's got we ID, and then something, and then there's the number 19. It could be the house number, quite possibly, or the business owner, but you know.
Yes, yeah, your screen's a bit brighter than mine. I missed that originally, but yeah. And the camera's done a really nice job. Those, what was it in this, the Vivitar 4000 and Cosina, that range of cameras that Cosina was building at the time for the likes of Voigtlander and for Nikon, those are rock-solid cameras, aren't they?
Well, I wouldn't say rock-solid, but they're certainly very reliable. They're not a camera line I'm a fan of.
Is it because they're cheap, Simon? What's wrong with them?
They feel cheap.
They'll be like
cockroaches, though. I mean, they'll still be going after the apocalypse, but because you just can't kill them. But they just feel light and feel really plasticky. I just don't like that in a camera. I mean, lots of people like to have a light camera. They say, oh, I don't want a heavy camera. So you get a light camera. Then you get a light camera and you think, oh, it feels cheap now because it's light. That's one issue. The other thing is, though, they you can carry on if you want.
No, but they are metal bodies on those, though, aren't they?
Well, they have metal in them. You know, so they don't feel like they're overburdened with metal. And they, as Graham had said there, the later Besser cameras, they just all feel the same. And I've had this conversation with Perry and Johnny Sisson on several occasions because they both like them. But I just can't get on with them. I'm not actually much of a rangefinder fan. Not that this Vivitar is a rangefinder, but it's effectively the same camera, the same chassis, if you like. And I guess that V4000 is a little bit confusing with it having that 2/1000th of a shutter, but at least it's not like some of the Soviet lenses where you'll see a Helios 44-2. That's obviously a 58mm f/2, and or if you see an MTO 1000, well, that's obviously a 1100mm lens. You know, it's so, you know, there's format there for putting numbers that just don't seem to go with photographic equipment.
Actually, I'm just looking at the V4000S now. That is a cause I've been using a couple of Cosinas over the last year because I've been testing them out with a view to actually selling them at some point, because you know that can happen. And they are older than the V, because I think the ones I've got, like the CTR, CR, whatever they are, that kind of era ones, are a bit earlier than this Vivitar. That one looks a bit more modern than the I think it looks so built on the same chassis, but just looks a bit more modern and plasticky.
Just on the point of the lens that's going to be on there, it's a relatively modern 50mm lens, and it's going to be a good lens. I mean, I slightly poo-pooed it there, but it will be a good lens. Which, you know, most 50mm lenses, there are very, very few bad 50mm lenses, and if you do have a bad 50mm lens, it's great because it's bad.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
No, but that's fine. Yeah. That's what we expect from you.
And I just this is a good time to actually just say about the voting for your favourite podcast and things like that for the Sunnies. The Homemade Camera Podcast was my vote for the podcast of the year, if that was what the category was called. And I feel quite bad that I could only give person of the year to Ethan, because Graham and Nick are great as well. So if Ethan Moses wins that person of the year kind of competition, I hope he shares it with Nick and Graham.
I will certainly, if he does, and I cannot comment on that, but if he does, I will certainly put your thing forward. Interestingly, none of the hosts of that show voted for you or your podcast. So.
The bastards.
In fact, they explicitly said they don't want yours to win, which is weird. Seemed mean, if anything. On the subject, just very quickly before we move on, so as I mentioned, I've shot with a couple of the Cosina SLRs over the last year. I can't remember the details. One of them's more of an aperture priority, the other one is a full manual. I found them to be good cameras, perfectly capable cameras. They're not fancy, but they're perfectly capable SLRs. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I've been given a really nice and very capable SLR very recently, and it's made me realise I don't need to be hoarding these things. So I'll be looking for a new home for these. And so I think we'll talk about it on the Sony 16 podcast this week. But if you don't have an SLR and you want one, then listen to the Sony 16 podcast, because I need to find a new home for a couple of cameras with lenses to go with them. So because, you know, you got to pass these things on. I have been beneficiary of kindness, and so I'm going to pass some of the cameras I've got that I don't need on to others now. That's my plan. Pay it forward, right, Simon?
Yeah, sounds like a good one to me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you make money from selling cameras, so you can't do the same thing. Otherwise, you definitely would do.
I do donate things to the darkroom club that we have, and also when people come along to that. We try to encourage people that have never been in the dark room, and you know, really that was me less than 12 months ago, and we have plenty of paper because that gets donated to us. If ever I pick some gear up and there's anything in there that can be darkroom related, I just give it to the club, and it allows us to let people have a go at printing and do it in a way that we're not precious in the slightest about the paper that's been used. If it takes 10, 15 pieces of paper to actually get a half decent print, then we're absolutely fine by that. Use as many as you need, just get that experience, and hopefully you get that love for printing and that enthusiasm to come back and join us or take that experience somewhere else at their home or wherever it is.
Yeah, no, that's great. There you go, listeners. Simon's pointed out how much more kind and generous he actually is than we thought, so that's nice. Big up your bad self, Simon. Okay, now if you can move on from your philanthropy for just one second. Next email is from Edward Bick, who I think Jeremy caught up with recently. Jeremy loves catching up with people. I think he caught up with Edward very recently. Anyway, Edward writes in to say, "Hi, Sundeams. Thank you for your super podcast, which I've been listening to since the Worcester walkabout. Here are my tips for loading films on spools and flattening fibre-based paper." This is the things we need help with. "If you heat up the plastic spool, either by putting on a radiator or using a hairdryer, until warm to touch, then the film doesn't get jammed. I'm not sure why this works. It might just remove any moisture, which makes the film tacky. Also, I cut a tiny corner off the edge of the film leader to prevent it digging into the edges of the spool." Good tips on both of those. I've not tried heating up my spools before. I really like that idea, although I don't have a hairdryer or indeed a radiator. So it is tricky. And two, to flatten fibre-based paper, I use an iron. There you go. Sometimes it's just as simple as you think it should be. I use an iron on a medium setting and place the paper between two clean blank pieces of paper. I iron for about 5 seconds or until the photo is flat. I then put it between the pages of a large book as quickly as possible before the paper has cooled down. I leave it in the book for 24 hours. Apologies if this technique damages any photos. Yeah, this is Edward's idea, everybody, just so you all know. Edward's idea. Get in touch with him. Best wishes and a happy new year from Edward. Wonderful. Great advice there. Have you done any fibre printing at your darkroom, Simon?
No. I don't think we actually even have any fibre paper at the moment. But I've certainly come across curled paper. At first, when I was reading this, I was thinking, is he ironing this before it gets exposed? And I was thinking, isn't that going to melt the plastic it's in and stuff like that? And I realised he starts to refer to photos. I'm thinking, right, it's okay. He's already printed this.
Ironing it before it's exposed. I mean, that's one thing, I guess. Although it does tend to be after it's got wet that the problems tend to manifest. So not sure it'd be a huge help, but...
But as for that warming up the film spool, I'm just wondering if it's just expands slightly, and therefore it's just got a little bit more room for the film to go around.
Yeah, maybe because like I said, when you do run into problems with it binding up, that roll that I did with Aid, I don't know what was going on with that. It just did not want to go on, and it was going on very, very slowly. But I don't know what was happening with that, and it's something you can't just turn the lights on and see. Sod's law that. That's a good piece of advice, and maybe having a hairdryer floating around so you can just give them a quick blast with it before you load up, especially if you've been having problems of that nature, might be worth a go. Okay, how are we doing here? How many more of these we've got? We're getting through these. Oh, I think it's the last one. And this is another day into night shot from the wonderful JM Golding, who writes in, "Hello, Sunbeams, and Happy New Year. I've been busily catching up on my film developing backlog, and I'm afraid I have one more night into day picture to show you. I made this one with my cheap shots Holger 120S as I stood in one place, more or less, watching the sunrise." So this is another sort of joined panoramic, technically triptych, I think. Did I send you this one, Simon?
Yeah. I think this is really interesting. I'm when I was viewing this, I was thinking night into day was a challenge, but this is obviously day. This is no day into night, I was thinking, but this is the other way around. So it's night into day. And so I was there sitting back and just taking these images in, and then in my head Grieg and the P Against suite was playing with morning as the sun is rising. And at first I was thinking, what on earth's going on? And then you look at it again and you think, oh, that's actually rather nice. Yeah, but it's a shot taken in the same place, so three main shots. And then I mean it's shot with a Holger, and I've got to say I'm seeing so many great Holger shots, and Mike Gutterman is killing it with his Holger. I may have to buy another camera at some point.
Made it 5 days into the year.
Yeah. I've got Holger gas, and it's just getting worse and worse. And they talk about Holgers all the time on the Homemade Camera podcast, because the film transport mechanism is a very simple system, isn't it? Because you just twist it along, and I don't think it's got any stops. Do you have to count how many times it clicks or something or other?
I'm just not entirely sure. Window on the back.
Oh right, okay. But I mean, what's happened here is I think James Golding is not taking it all the way. So the second image starts effectively overlaps the first, and the third overlaps the second, and so it's the same place. It's got the same scene, although when the first scene you can see this track. And you can just about see the sun over the horizon. The second one, quite similar to it, but the third one, bam, the sun's come over the horizon, the shot's got flared, you can't see the track anymore. And it's just a really nice set.
Yeah, absolutely. Great work. And as is so often the case with the work people doing good stuff with Holgers, you know, you're talking about Mike and JM, just showing what you can produce with that cheap plastic piece of tut in the right hand. Whenever I use it, I get exactly what one would expect from a cheap plastic piece of tut. I get garbage because I'm no good with them. And then I see the work that's being produced and go, well, this is very much my problem, not the cameras.
Well, you say that, but that is one of the big things about these Holgers. Some are much better than others, and you know, how you define what better means depends on, you know, how you want to define that, I guess. But the shots that have been produced out of Mike's camera, there's a reasonable chance that if you were sat next to Mike or stood next to Mike and took the same shot with your camera, you might not be able to replicate the shot. So they are very much a camera-specific look that you're going to get, and some have got light leaks, which is, you know, part of the fun, but some just have better lenses. You've got glass lenses out there, you've got plastic lenses. You know, I don't really know which one's best. I mean, I'm not a fan in principle of a plastic lens, but if it gives the look that you're after, then that's the right lens. So
no, great point. Although, to be totally truthful, I don't think the lens is the problem with the pictures I take with the Holger. My problem has been almost consistently the things that I'm pointing it at and the way I'm framing them and everything else. No lens improvement or alterations would change the quality of those pictures. They're just bad. I've done poorly with that camera. Must try harder. That is it for the emails. Thank you so much, everybody who has written in. Fantastic smorgasbord of goodness this week. It's a really nice way to start the new year back with that. And, you know, look forward to the new year and all the exciting emails to come, I guess, Simon.
Yeah.
You see, he's excited. Now,
as long as you read them, that's fine by me.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I'm here for. Reading, literally nothing else. Shall we do the other bits of business and then coffee, or should we do coffee first? Which would you? I'm going to give you the choice, Simon, because this is going to be a new experience for you. Because we talked at the beginning of the show of the bit that you fast forward through, which apparently is the coffee donations bit, which seems rude, but you can't fast forward through when you're sat on the other end of the line, can you, Simon?
No, I could always just nip off though for a while.
You could always play. You could always play Clash of Clans whilst you're recording the podcast, which is apparently a thing that you did on one of your. I listened to one of the Classic Lens podcasts from I don't know middle of last year, and throughout the podcast I could hear click 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 click, click on the mouse, and it was very annoying. And I was thinking at the time, it sounds as though somebody must be playing a video game, because that's the only thing that could possibly demand that kind of repetitive clicking. Yes, they were. Simon got bored recording his own podcast and was playing Clash of Clans on his PC. How dare you, Simon, apologise to your listeners?
Well, you know, it can't. These things can happen. actually, I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before. But it could well have happened on many occasions when Johnny and Perry start talking about rangefinder lenses and just rangefinders in general. Yeah, so I should really find that game and start clicking away whenever they do that.
Fair enough. Well, let's do the coffee stuff first. So the first person I want to say a big thank you to this week is Mike Rattle. We mentioned Mike. He donated a few weeks ago. We mentioned about the fact that he was involved in the lawnmower motor racing community. And he's got in his message, he clarified for us, because of my brief look at this, that he... Well, he's not involved in the community per se, but instead made a documentary film showing how the sport of lawnmower racing is on the cutting edge, a-boom, in the battle against a deadly disease known as Huntington's. So it's actually raising money for Huntington's with the lawnmower racing. Definitely something that is worth checking out. Mike has actually got his own coffee page. So if you go to coffee.com/Mike Rattle, and Rattle is spelled R-A-T-E-L, and you've got a link to a YouTube video there of what Mike's done on that, of his documentary, On Your Mark, Get Set, Mow. Again, just great work, Mike. So do go and check that out, because it does sound as though everybody involved with that is doing work for a very good cause. And also, what is wrong with... I think my two front teeth might be falling out. Mike's just got some great photography on there as well, so well worth checking out. But that does, of course, leave us with our wonderful regular donors, doesn't it, Simon?
Yes.
You're very excited about this, aren't you? You were saying that this is the part you were most excited about doing, weren't you, Simon?
I tune in specially for it.
Now, because it is a new year, 2020 vision, we thought we would get our researchers to go out there and specifically find out what people's New Year's resolutions were, what people were going to maybe take up. Because in January, are you sort of going on a diet, Simon? Not that I'm saying you need to. I mean, you could maybe afford to lose a few pounds, but...
Yeah, I think half a stone would do me quite well, I would imagine.
So, you know, we all start off the new year with good intention. So that's what our researchers have gone off. And this month, we're going to find out what our coffee donors have got planned for the new year. So, Simon, would you like to give us the names of the people of this week's victims?
Okay, now the first one is Dave the Walker.
Dave is committed to planting more trees this year. He planted none last year, so there's ample room for growth, if you'll pardon the pun. And whilst he doesn't expect to, you know, reach polar bear saving levels, he is hoping to at least offer succour to maybe one of those cool little white rabbity things that you see in the snowy areas too. So that's good.
Okay. Bill Thu.
Bill Thu is giving up competitive chili pepper eating after his doctor warned him that if he stepped into the ring once more, he'd be lucky to step out with his own still working.
Charles Kirschenblatt.
Inspired by the paleo or paleolithic diet, Charles is trying out the mono or monolithic diet, where he's only eating large marble slabs and massive out-of-touch corporations. That's his diet for the new year. Are you enjoying this, Simon?
It's ace. Anyone would think that, you know, that you spend hours putting these together, but I know that, you know, we came on and said, hold on a second, I just need to write these.
So did not share the researchers, a team of researchers.
Oh, sorry, yes. Yeah, sorry, I'm giving secrets away there, aren't I?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll move swiftly on to the next one. You can cut that bit out if you wish. and to Joe Baker. That's Evil Chutney, isn't it?
It certainly is. Joe is giving up writing sonnets this year, as he feels that they're just not getting the appreciation they deserve, no matter how loudly he shouts them at people in the street. So, stopping that in 2020.
And the next one is the wonderful Barry Carr.
The wonderful Barry Carr is taking up humming as a form of exercise, as it really works the core. Now, while it is quite low impact, he feels that if he does it for 8 hours a day, even if the humming itself doesn't give him the exercise he needs, running away from all the people he irritates will. So,
is the next one a dog? Dunstan
Vavasor, how dare you? How
it just
very
says
dare
Dunstan.
You? I apologise, Dunstan. Dunstan is giving up sneezing for 2020 as he just finds it too attention-seeking. Because of this, he's also having to give up his hobby of pepper sniffing. So, well, snorting. I put snorting, but sniffing sounds better. Less okay. druggy, doesn't it? Pepper yes. snorting sounds like he's doing it for the high, whereas pepper sniffing just makes it sound like the hobby that it has been. Carry right. on.
Yeah. Juliet Swab.
Juliet is going to make 2020 the year of juggling. While starting off small with your classic three ball situation, she hopes to be up to chainsaws and live cats by the year's end.
Martin Smith.
Martin Smith is giving up professional football in 2020 because of all the stress. Not that he plays professionally, but he really wants to, and it's all that stress of the constant failure to do so that's got to him, so he's just giving up on that. Giving up on the dream, I guess, of professional football, so that's nice.
And fortunately, and finally, Hillary H. Clark.
Hillary is taking up Kung Fu in 2020. This was something of a clerical error. She booked herself on the course thinking it was a Chinese cuisine course that she was getting involved with, but no, turns out it's Kung Fu. So... that's her new hobby for this year. So that's good.
Yes.
Did you enjoy that, Simon? Are you going to go back now through all the previous backing papers that you fast-forwarded it through and listen to them at sort of regular speed so you can enjoy it, realising now what you've missed?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much to all our coffee donors. You are fabulous. We are getting ready for another year of fun and games and stuff to do, and you are the people that keep this ship rolling, sailing. So thank you so much. It's hugely, hugely appreciated, and it makes everything we do here so much easier, and it enables us to contemplate and to do things that we wouldn't be able to otherwise. So
I second that as well, because we do that with our two podcasts as well, and it does make a real difference to the it's taking that weight off you, because in both cases, for the Classic Lenses and Sunday 16, we have we have hosting costs and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's great to know that those things are covered, and it leaves a little bit on top of it as well, just to help us do things. So that's it's a great thing to do.
Yeah, and that's without wanting to go into this, but there are so many just little things that can pop up. Like when we do the competitions, just being able to pay for the prize for that. When we want to post stuff out, on the rare occasions where I get my act together and post stuff out, or Rachel needs to post stuff out, or Rachel needs to get film for doing a cheap shots challenge or something, because Rachel frequently does not have any film or enough money to buy film. It helps with stuff like that, because we're already having to put up with our partners being very patient with us spending all of our time doing this. They get less patient when we're then spending the house budget on as well. So anyway, thank you. In short, thank you. You guys are amazing. And whether the donations to us or the Classic Lenses podcast, or you do it for large format as well, don't you? Or anybody else, helping out the people who are producing the things you like is fantastically meaningful. I was chatting to various people like Hamish and David Allen, and who either have coffee or Patreons or whatever they're doing, and the help that we all get for the stuff we're doing is hugely appreciated across the board. So thank you. Well, that's enough niceness, isn't it? Let's move on to the any other business. We've got a few bits here. The first thing, I'm going to do this slightly out of order. Cheap Shots Challenge. We had some great Cheap Shots Challenge entries this week. You still have plenty of time. We're going to give it another couple of weeks. So if you've taken some pictures, which I hope you have. I've taken some pictures. I'm not sure I've taken many festive pictures, but I've definitely taken some pictures. So I need to finish up my roll and decide whether I'm going to send it off or buy a colour film kit. I only have a couple of rolls of colour at the moment, so I'm not sure I'm going to do that. So you've got a couple of weeks to do that. We will draw a line underneath that. Let me have a quick look at the calendar and come up with a real, actual, genuine closing date. Let's say the closing date for entries is Saturday, the 18th of January. So, yeah, that's two full weeks from now, pretty much, isn't it? So you've got time to get yours in, Simon.
Rubbish. I need a cheap camera to do it on, because I have taken part in this competition.
Yes, you have.
With an APS camera.
Don't do that again.
It's gone. It's sold.
You sold it.
I did. Yeah.
Oof, how do you sleep at night?
I gave. I actually gave a very fulsome description of that camera, along with it's the hottest trend in film photography and all of those things within the eBay advert, and somebody still bought it. So fair play. In fact, I was going to say after fees, I don't think I quite made a profit on it, but I sold it for more than I actually nominally paid for it, at least anyway. So I mean, it's not all bad, is it?
No, I guess. Well, yes, it is. So anyway, a couple of weeks still to get your entries in. We had some real mail this week as well, which I want to say a thank you for. Now, the first one is this lovely little concept print. Oh, well, actually, it's a postcard on the, I think it's the Ilford postcard paper. I'm sure it must be. I can't quite read because the writing's over it. Dear Graham, Aid, and Rachel, here's the... I should have read this first because I did read this. Here's the way too dark result of my second foray into the dark room in 30 years. It's a 6x12 contact print from a homemade camera / printer printed over the last 2 months. Oh, a homemade camera I printed over the last 2 months. Emails are easier to read, turns out. The image is from a drained reservoir I pass on my 90-minute commute. Keep up the good work. Now, I don't know who sent this, because the one thing they didn't put was their name. I know it's come from the States, and I love the picture. What is a bit dark. It's still very cool.
I was going to say, I agree, it is a little bit dark. Now, you're wondering, how would I know this?
Oh, have you got one too?
I've got one as well.
Has yours got a name on it, Simon?
No.
Phantom postcard sender strikes again.
I've got it in front of me. I was thinking I might do a shout out for this mystery person because I'll do my best to read this one out, because it's not quite the same. So hopefully this will help listeners to try and pin down this. So it goes, Andrew and Simon plus Johnny, Perry and Simon. I ventured back into the darkroom for the second time in 30 years. I'm thinking, I've heard that before. And I was reminded just how much work goes into a halfway decent print. This took me 2 hours and it's still way too dark. Tons of fun, almost. And something to show for it. Keep up the good work on your great show, brackets, shows. It's the same one. And it's from Orlando. Because that's what's on the postmark anyway.
Okay, yeah, you got more information on the postmark. Okay, Orlando. Okay, well, who do we know over in Orlando? There's quite a few. Okay, well, listen, mysterious postcard seller, please do write in. Send us another postcard. Send us another postcard. Maybe put your name on this, or just email us so we can properly thank you. But although it is a bit dark, I do love it. I love contact prints. It's a thing I have only done with cyanotype so far. I don't know why, because I love the look of them. Have you done much in the way of contact prints at the darkroom, Si?
I've done a couple of them, certainly. Especially when I was trying to do large format before we had the large format enlarger, because that was the only way I could actually do them. I wouldn't say I've successfully managed to do a contact print, but I've only had a few goes at it. But I mean, that goes for almost all of my printing at the moment. I'm still at that stage where I'm very, very much a beginner. And I've produced a few half decent things, but no, I haven't actually managed to do a particularly good contact print just yet. But this is, it's just, I was going to say, I'm just really cool that we've both got this postcard that's come through. But I think there's definitely a decent shot there, and I think a little bit more time on that, that'll be worth putting the effort into. It's really smart.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I received in the mail this week, which I was very delighted to, is Matthew Joseph's famed show-off book, titled simply 2019, although it's in Braille on the front because Matthew's pretentious. And this is a lovely book of Matthew's photos, various different things, lots of very wide pictures, as one might expect. But there's some great, what's the one I'm looking at here? This is this incredible stitched panorama. It's a wonderful book. Matthew's photography is always a delight. And there's some really nice individual prints in here as well, which he's also sent me. There's a dedication at the front. It's not a very sincere dedication, because there's an actual sincere dedication at the back, but the dedication at the front says, "This book is dedicated to Graham Cockwomble Jago," which seems rude, not gonna lie. But thank you so much, Matthew. It is a lovely book. Matthew's photography is always worth seeking out. You can obviously find him at PhotoDudeNZ on Instagram, or just running our Sunny 16 podcast feed on Instagram, for which I am both thankful and also worried, because every now and again I have a conversation like with my partner of, why has my picture appeared on your feed? I'm like, uh-oh, I don't know. I'm sure it's fine.
He did a great one on Instagram with, I mean, I don't really pay much attention to when people post stories, but there was one on there that was for celebrating the funding of the Branco Pan, and along with, you know, music as well and things dancing. It was really cool. I thought it was you, so I credited you earlier with it, but clearly it was Matthew. So
Matthew's story game is very, very strong on Instagram. His post game needs work, but his story game is very, very strong. One word of warning: if you do get your hands on Matthew Joseph's photo book, if you're one lucky enough to receive it or come across it, the back cover does have a full frontal naked picture of him on it. Fortunately, the shadows are doing the job you really, really, really want them to do. But nonetheless, very much content warning on that image there. So that's something for everybody to now have stuck in their minds forever. And finally, out of my bits, much talked about for the last couple of years and never actually done, I'm actually going to organise, with the help of others, because I couldn't organise my way out of a soggy paper bag, a photo walk in Oxford, imminently in Oxford. In fact, in about a month's time, on Saturday the 8th of February, we are going to have a photo walk in Oxford. And I would love you to be there, if that is at all possible. Simon, you're going to come down, aren't you?
I certainly am. Looking forward to it.
So there you go. You're going to get to meet Simon. Simon forced it off of the internet. Did you hear? I mean, if that's not worth coming to, I don't know what is.
But I imagine NASA's going, though, isn't it? I assume. I hope, anyway.
I sincerely hope NASA is going to help a great deal with organising. Yes, NASA certainly is. Jeremy's going to be there. I know there's quite a few other people who I've spoken to in the past who are not too far away. Dave Walker, who we mentioned, he's only over in Didcot. He's not far away. Hoping Rory, who I've mentioned on the podcast, I hope he'll be able to. There's a lovely chap, oh god, who's, is it Stephen? I'm not gonna even try and guess, because I'm gonna forget, but who we met at the Kiln, who's also very local. He lives in the town I live next to. So there's actually quite a few of us around here, but if you're further away, do come down. It'll hopefully be a great day. The focus will be on getting together, having a nice time and catching up with each other, with rambling around, taking a few pictures as a nice byproduct, and we'll sort of just try and make it as low stress and fun as possible. The weather is going to be whatever the weather's going to be. We'll try and roll with whatever's there, but it is February, so don't expect sunshine or indeed lollipops. But it should be a fun time, and we've not done one there. I know Aid is also, I think, trying to organise something in London a bit sooner, but I will speak to Aid tomorrow about that, and we will get that news out on the Sunny 16 podcast. So if you're in London, come to Oxford for my photo walk, is what I say. Come and see how badly I deal with large groups of people. It's always fun. Always fun for everybody. That's me done, Simon. But you've got something exciting happening this week, haven't you?
We certainly have. Tomorrow, we'll be recording episode 100. Woo! Of the Classic Lenses podcast.
Congratulations, mate. 100 episodes of that.
Yeah, and people still listen, I know.
Well, Alan, come on. I mean, yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. I am a huge fan of your podcast. I think the Classic Lenses show is great, and the fact that you've got to 100 episodes is a real achievement. That's a lot of hours of you sat around talking about stuff I don't understand.
Well, we've certainly diversified our conversations quite a bit. So it's certainly a lot less technical and excuse me, and nerdy in the way that it was. Although that's
although.
Quite not entirely. It's not completely free of that. But the shows evolved for many reasons, and one of which was not good at all, which happened earlier on last year now. When we lost Carl, and I'm just, I've thanked you on our show, but I just want to thank you again for the support that you gave us at that time, and because we used a show where Carl appeared on your show as one of ours, which was actually the last time that Carl was on any podcast.
Yeah.
So that was a tough time for us, and you were very, very supportive for us there. So thank you for that.
It was an honor to be able to help out at that time, and it's selfishly, I'm so glad that we were able to have that conversation with him, because he was just an absolute delight of a human being, as you know far, far better than I do. Carl was an incredibly special man, and I'm so glad that we got to talk to him. We were very lucky.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just a quick repeat of thanks I gave to Annal Mystery as well, who helped us with our first episode back. He sort of held that show together, so that was good. In fact, we've got, like, hopefully we're going to have Annal coming back with us soon on a happier occasion. So that'll be happening probably next month with a bit of luck. So thanks again, Annal. That was it was really good of you to do what you did back then. But anyway, let's onto the future. The show that we're doing tomorrow was actually with the guest that we've got is Jason Lane, was actually the last guest on the show that Carl did as well. And Jason, or as you call him, Nathan. Mm-hmm. Nathan Lane.
Yeah.
Jason Lane is a lens designer, professional lens designer, and actually, I'm not sure if he actually appeared on your show at all. He's been on a few places, because he's one of the two people behind the dry plate holder.
Yes.
That Steve Lloyd of Chroma Camera and Jason Lane's of Pictoria Graphica. So that was successfully kickstarted, and they should be in production, I think, next month with a bit of luck. Jason's day job is a lens designer, and we're going to go back to a full technical show tomorrow. I mean, it's interesting. We get messages every now and again, or you pick things up by saying, "Well, you don't do the episodes on single lenses anymore, or you don't talk enough about digital, or you talk too much about film, and you don't talk about this." And it's one of those things. We can't please everybody, and the show evolves, and it takes us in different places. But yeah, those people have been missing some of the technical stuff. We're going balls deep into technicality tomorrow, so we're going to be talking about lens formulations, the history of how lenses have evolved, and this will all be on YouTube as well, which is something we've not done properly before. Don't worry, you won't see our faces. It's going to be a screen share with some software that Jason uses to design his lenses in his day job, and he's going to be using that software to explain some of the configurations of some of the better known lenses, and why those lenses do certain things and have different characteristics. So really looking forward to that one, because it's going to be a proper nerdgasm.
Gross, never use that word again, Simon. You're a grown ass man. Well, there you go.
I wouldn't say that kind of stuff on my show, but
just come here and sully my podcast with your nonsense. That sounds great. I listened to the original show you had with Jason, not Nathan, incidentally, Nathan Lane. I just had the quick Nathan Lane, very famous actor, turns out. That's why that's in my brain. I listened to the first show you had Jason on, and it was a great show. Maybe if you're new to the Classic Lenses podcast, might not be the best one to jump on with, just because it does have to be very focused. But you know, go back and listen to some of the other ones, listen to some of the older ones, where there's more general chat going on, because Simon, Johnny and Perry are always good to listen to. Lots of good conversations on there. So, and especially the I know we talked about it at the time, but the recent episode Perry did, talking about the situation in Hong Kong, was great. Really, a really good show. Completely out of the ordinary for your podcast, but not that it was good. In that it was good. That is actually exactly what I meant. It's completely out of the ordinary for your podcast, in that it was great. But no, it was well worth anybody listening to if you haven't already heard that show.
I was going to say, it's the things like that show, though. I mean, you know, good things come out of all of these podcasts, everybody's podcasts. The good things always come out of them, but that's something that I'm, you know, if I'd known something like Perry's audio diary of his time in Hong Kong, which is I forget which it was about a month ago now or so, about his experiences of shooting while there had been riots and things like that. If I'd known, I would have been amazed that something like that would have actually come out of doing the podcast. So
yeah,
if you've not listened to it, please do, because it's educational, it's entertaining, and it's moving.
It's edutainment. Well, you've really just nailed that sales pitch. I mean, and you know, it only took you 96, 97 episodes to get there. So, I mean, by episode 180 something else, there'll be another classic you'll have to listen out for.
Exactly.
So, awesome. Thank you so much, Simon, for joining me this week at fairly short notice. Well, you got more than 10 minutes, which is better than some people have had.
Yeah.
But it's been a delight catching up. I think this might be the longest backing paper. But then when I got you on here, I should have known that was going to happen. It was asking for trouble. This week, Sunny 16 podcast. Now, obviously, our plan was to do the Sunnies this week. We always start the year with the Sunny show, but we are not doing the Sunnies without Rachel. That's just not going to happen. We cannot have an awards show without the most glamorous person in the entire Sunny 16 universe. So we're going to put that off, hopefully just 1 week. And I think this week's podcast will just be Aid Night, catching up on what we've been doing over Christmas and some other stuff we've got coming up. And there's a few bits to talk about. And then the Sunnies will hopefully be the week after, if Rachel is fit and well and back. But if not, it'll wait till she is, because like I said, we ain't doing it without Rach. But thank you so much to everybody who voted. I can't remember what the final, I think it's 300 people voted, I think, around there. Many people voted. Thank you so much. If you did, you are awesome, and we appreciate it. Even if you voted for Simon's podcast through those votes. I think you got quite a few votes for yours, actually, Simon. I'm beginning to suspect that there's some vote tampering, so I will be looking into that. I'm only joking. Simon's podcast, lovely. Simon's lovely, and you'll get to meet him at the Oxford Photo Walk, so be there for that. Anything else, Simon, before we get out of here?
Just a quick shout out to the Six Towns Darkroom Club that I've mentioned a few times. We have it on a... every Tuesday from 7 o'clock till pretty late. Fraser Yule dropped into us a few weeks ago. He turned up early with the hope that he would actually get on his way, because he was driving from Scotland to Cheltenham. And I'll just nip in and have a go. And I don't think he left until like about 10:45. So we stay as long as it takes. So anybody that's in the Stoke-on-Trent, Staffordshire, South Cheshire, or further apart, like further away, such as Fraser, drop in and see us. And if you want to, some more details, are we doing our contact details? Or shall I just go into that? Because that's the best way to get hold of it.
I don't think you'll be able to finish until you have. Can you just go on?
Well, no, just quickly. If anybody is interested. Interested in coming along to our darkroom evenings, I say Stoke-on-Trent on a Tuesday. And if you want to get in touch with me via Twitter or Instagram, I'm on Instagram as Simon Forster Photographic and Twitter as Simon Four. That's Simon and F-O-R, all one word. So that's probably the best way to get hold of me if you want more details.
Splendid stuff. Well, thank you very much again, Simon, and thank you, listeners. I hope that 2020 is, well, I hope you're still going. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem as though the year has got off on a brilliant footing, but there's a lot more days still to come, and hopefully some of those will be pretty amazing. Until Thursday, we'll be back with the Sunny 16 podcast. Have a lovely week, everyone. You have to say bye or something.
I was all going to take your lead there. Bye.